The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this Thursday, the 11th day of August 2022. Thank you, God. We're going to have some very specific thanks to God, as we always do in the opening moments of the show. But I just want to, before I say anything about anything, thank you for the rain. It was the weirdest thing. You take stuff for granted. I was letting the dogs out, you know, right before bed last night and did something that I haven't done seemingly in forever, walked barefoot through wet grass. The grass did not crunch brownly beneath my feet. Oh, my gosh. It was wonderful. And it's funny because the day before, we had had sort of the little smattering of thunderstorms. And we had thunder at the house, and the dogs are freaking out. I thought, this is going to be great. We'll calm the dogs down, but we're going to get some rain. And we didn't get a drop. Not one infernal drop. But yesterday, for probably just 30 or 35 glorious minutes, it was coming down in buckets. Now we need, about 50 more days just like that in a row to end the drought. But it was a wonderful thing, and so hope y'all enjoyed the rain yesterday. And then it went down into like the 70s. It's in the upper 70s right now. When's the last time we had that when we woke up? And that means today's high, the sun will come. Of course, last night it was funny because as soon as you get that big downpour of rain, it's going to warm back up a little bit, and then you're going to have that 147% humidity. It felt a little bit like evening in Bangkok. But, hey, I'll take it, and today I will take a high that is below triple digits. We get some 90s for a couple of days. Welcome to Texas summer, and welcome to our Thursday show. Bunch to do. The very first thing I'm going to rant about will not be the Mar-a-Lago raid. I'll get to it. One of President Trump's attorneys who tried to get on the property during the raid and was told, "You, no, ma'am, you've got to leave," was on Hannity last night. Former White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer provided a thread yesterday that was pretty valuable because, obviously, you know the low opinion I have of the raid. You know the low opinion I have of the FBI. You know the low opinion I have of Attorney General Merrick Garland. But I have a high regard for objectivity and keeping the question open of what exactly is going on. What were they looking for? What does Trump have in terms of documents? What did they find? Is there something here that they can get him on validly? That because it's just a fishing expedition for January 6th, the smoking guns and bombshells. But on the way to that, are we going to have to swim through a document squabble, which may be somewhat more important than just some, you know, a letter to Kim Jong-un that the National Archives wants. So Ari Fleischer had some thoughts about that because anything truly is possible. And so we'll take a look at all of that. Coming up at 8:35 today, State Senator Kelly Hancock will talk about some state issues, but also we'll talk about his kidney transplant. Kelly Hancock has served this state in its legislature for many years, and his is a Northeast Tarrant County community, and had a roiling kidney disease thing going for a good many years. Didn't, you know, spend time walking around wearing a sandwich board about it or talking about it day in and day out. But when it came time for the urgent need for a kidney transplant, up stepped his son-in-law. And he'll tell us about that at 8:35 as we take a look at a longtime friend of the show, State Senator Kelly Hancock. And we'll probably talk about a couple of state issues in there because it's another day of Abbott versus the big city mayors. Do Eric Adams, now it's almost entirely Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, does he know that he is, you know, essentially doing campaign ads for Abbott when he stands up at the lectern in New York and says, yeah, I'll tell you what I'm thinking of doing. I'm thinking of taking some New Yorkers down to Texas, like to knock on doors for Beto. Bring it. Be careful what you wish for, Mr. Mayor. Some of those folks may get off the buses down here in Texas and see a better way of life and not go back. And I love New York, but they may come down here and hop off and say, you know, we may be staying here. And speaking of Beto, oh my gosh, there's a little bit of camp. And again, I do not ever intend to beat you down with Beto campaign audio. It can be oppressive. But at an event yesterday, something really weird happened. I'm going to play it for you in just a couple of minutes. He's, you know, hooting and hollering about AR-15s and revealing vast firearms illiteracy, at which point someone in the crowd laughs a little. I mean, you can't really hear it, but Robert Francis O'Rourke hears it. Boy, does he. Spins on his heels, points at the guy, and says, this may be funny to you. I'm going to clean it up. This may be funny to you, MF-er, but it's not funny to me. Because it's like, who was this guy? Is it an Abbott plant? Maybe. Do people send moles into opposing campaign events? Yeah, usually to shoot video that they can somehow use for their own campaign stuff. It's all fair game. But it was so weird and so instant. I don't want to go conspiratorial proactively, but it just looks like it was staged. I'll let you be the judge. Speaking of people doing campaign ads for the opponent, in Texas Congressional District 24, the wonderful Beth Van Dyne is running for re-election, which I trust she will achieve. Her Democrat opponent is a woman named Jan McDowell. The other day, Ms. McDowell put up a Twitter thing that said, you know, like, here's how I welcome friends in Texas 24. And it's her standing around talking to some people, which is great. It's her standing around talking to some people. And then below it, it says, how Beth welcomes friends to Texas 24. And it's Beth and I think Ronnie Jackson and I think Lauren Boebert and some other congressional Republicans. And they are all smiling as broad. They're just happy and smiling. And they're all brandishing. I don't know if they're all AR-15s, but some type of long sporting rifle. And they just look like they are having the time of their lives. I said, well, I know what group I want to hang out with. Anyway, though, yesterday, again on Twitter, Ms. McDowell offers up something which might as well be another Beth Van Dyne campaign ad, in which Ms. McDowell puts up some pictures, volunteering with this great crew waiting for a bus of immigrants to arrive in Dallas. We'll be helping them navigate once they get here, have lunch, and check in. It's quite a remarkable operation. Thankful for the volunteers who regularly welcome people arriving in Dallas by bus. Great. So for the voters of District 24, Beth Van Dyne is looking to reduce illegal immigration. Her opponent, Jan McDowell, is complicit in facilitating it. So there is your choice in Texas 24. Okay, Lord, thank you. Guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of each new day. We are so grateful every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, where our schools are safe now that they're reopening. Watch over all our kids and teachers. Our elections are reliable. Our borders work, where we protect the unborn, where we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created. and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything, and we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Okay, let's do the Beto moment, and I'll make sure to ride the ride the button, because what you'll hear is he's moving along, spouting a lot of just stone-cold firearms of illiteracy. Somebody apparently laughs, but I don't know if I hear it. We'll see if you do. And then when the audio disappears for a second, it will come back and the crowd will explode in appreciative applause. And that will be because Beto has said, this may be funny to you, MF-er, but it's not funny to me. Another magic moment on the Robert Francis O'Rourke campaign trail.
That now 11 weeks since we lost 19 kids and their two teachers shot to death with a weapon originally designed for use in combat, legally purchased by an 18-year-old who did not try to obtain one when he was 16 or 17, but followed the law that's on the books, ladies and gentlemen, that says that you can buy not one, you can buy two or more if you want to, AR-15s, hundreds of rounds of ammunition, and take that weapon that was originally designed for use on the battlefields in Vietnam to penetrate an enemy soldier's helmet at 500 feet and knock him down dead up against kids at 5 feet. It may be funny to
Okay, instant replay. Do you hear anybody laugh? Listen to the moment at which, because I obviously got to drop it out. It says, it may be funny to you, but in this moments before that, do you hear anybody do anything?
...fields in Vietnam to penetrate an enemy soldier's helmet at 500 feet and knock him down dead up against kids at 5 feet. It may be...
Oh, they're just orgasmic. They're in Beto land.
We're going to make sure that our kids are starting their school year right now, that they don't have to worry.
Oh, and how exactly do we make sure that they don't have to worry? By removing your ability to own an AR-15, as if that's possible, as if that's doable. This is a gun grabber in action. It's also street vulgarity. And I think this is all very, very calculated. It's designed so that Robert Francis can telegraph to you just how passionate he is. Well, he drops F-bombs because he's passionate. Right. All right, let me take the pause, come back out. And before even – listen, Mike and I will sling some stuff about the raid, I'm sure. But something monumentally shameful happened in Dallas City Council yesterday, just after the show was over. We told you it was coming, telegraphed it. There was exactly one city councilman, one, who voted in favor of the rule of law. And this is not even about abortion rights. It's not about whether somebody's pro-life or pro-choice or whatever. This is about whether the city of Dallas is going to willfully turn a blind eye to violations of law in post-Roe v. Wade, Texas. Every council person voting, including Mayor Eric Johnson, whom I'll have a word or two to say about in just a moment, because I've been a big fan, and I still am. He's in a tough spot, but still. Councilman Adam Magoo, the only vote against this willful blindness, this decision to completely ignore state law. Other lawless cities like Austin and Denton have done the same. San Antonio's working on it as well. It's extremely predictable. And I would ask you, what if a city decided, you know, hate crime laws, we don't care. We're just not going to pay attention to that. What if a city decided, child abuse, we're not going to investigate that. Now, I know no one would ever do that. Well, I know that. I know. That should never happen under any law in any way, in any fashion, any time. A city just deciding it's going to ignore laws it doesn't like. Dallas City Council did it, and there was some treachery that led up to this vote. Tell you about that, all of it. Anyway, Adam Magoo, the one vote in favor of the rule of law, he will join us at 8:05. You can join us right now, 866-660-5759, Mark Davis 721.
Don't you feel like trying something new? Don't you feel like breaking out or breaking us in two?
This quirky little man is one of my favorite British singer-songwriters. The great Joe Jackson from Night and Day, Breaking Us In Two. Remember Stepping Out? Joe Jackson's great, and he is 68 today, so we'll throw you some Joe today. Got some other musical birthdays to examine. And a show business birthday I'll give to Mike that is particularly germane to him and us. So, Dallas City Council yesterday has a vote on something called the Grace Act, one of the most perversely titled things in the history of naming things. The Grace Act is guarding the right to abortion care. They can shoehorn that word care in there. Women's health care, abortion care. If they can keep beating you with that word, they're hoping that you won't care, that it's about evisceration of life in the womb. Anyway, the Grace Act, passed in Austin, passed in Denton, now passed in Dallas, essentially says, yeah, post-Roe v. Wade America, post-Roe v. Wade Texas, we're going to have a lot of protection of the unborn. It's a big middle finger to all of that. No resources to it. Investigations of it are hampered. It is a willful, blind eye turned to such matters. Every member of council voted for it but one, Adam Magoo. He'll join us at 8:05. Mayor Eric Johnson voted for it. This wounded me because I like this guy a lot, and I know he's not a big lib. I have I've had some conversations that I can probably divulge more about as we move forward, and I think I'll have the opportunity for some in-depth dialogue with his honor. What we have from his perspective is a pretty tough vote where he's trying to keep things together as a conservative Democrat running a bug-eyed blue leftist city. So my point all day yesterday was that I don't need Democrats, and it is Democrats who run Dallas. I don't need them to become pro-life like me. I just need them to obey the rule of law. I need them. I would have loved for anybody to stand up and say, look, I'm pro-choice, but this is about whether we are going to pay attention to or enforce laws that are on the books. And I will always be in favor. We should all be in favor of paying attention to laws that are on the books. He could have done that. I wish he had. Why didn't he? The vibe I have, what folks are going to fall back on, is that the resolution does not have any legally binding authority on anybody. It's not an ordinance. It was going to pass overwhelmingly. So what would Mayor Eric Johnson's no vote, where like he and Adam Magoo were the only, what would that have done? Would that have like destroyed his ability in a city with a solidly Democratic red meat voter base? Is this not the hill to die on? It wouldn't have been a difference-making vote. I want to bend over in a lot of directions to accommodate the mayor, whom I like a lot. I don't believe that his vote was because he's a big pro-abort looking to intentionally ignore laws he doesn't like. Everybody else on council, I don't give that benefit of the doubt to at all. And anyway, coming up at 8:05, Adam Magoo, the only no vote on the perversely titled Grace Act, he will join us. Guess who joins us next? You know, it's our talk show buddy, Mike Gallagher. And we step into the newsroom for a visit with Gordon Griffin to get us there at 7:31. I'm Mark Davis. Here's Gordon.
Mike makes your day.
Yeah, buddy.
He brings you the world, the stars, and the sun.
Mike makes your day.
I'm like Meek Smallwood,
Rip
Taylor. Feels like a cheesy John Davidson.
And listen,
Suzanne Summers.
I attended a taping of the Mike Douglas Show in California in 1979. Brief story to follow. But the reason for this, of course, is Mike does make our day. That's you. Aww. But it is also Mike Douglas's birthday, born this date in 1920. And lived all the way to 2006. But he had a sort of local show and a regionally syndicated show in the 60s. And then in the 70s, it really grew and flourished. And a friend of mine and I, right after we graduated from college at University of Maryland, we piled into my 1976 Buick Century and drove up the northern tier of states from Maryland across, you know, Ohio, you know, Nebraska, Colorado, to northern California, down California, and then back the southern tier of states, Arizona, Texas. The first time I ever set foot in DFW was on that trip. And we just did all kinds of things. And when we were in L.A., it's like, what can we get a ticket to a taping of? And it was a Mike Douglas show. It would have been in the summer of 1979. I remember only one guest. And that was the musical guest, Ray Parker Jr. and Radio, R-A-Y-D-O. And you can't change that. You know, the guy who would later
the big
on,
guests were off that day. Huh?
They might have been big, but that's the one that I remembered. And of course, they lip synced. Of course, they didn't. Nobody playing live on the Mike Douglas Show, but they did it really well, and everybody was thrilled. And I got to see Mike Douglas in person.
That's cool.
Just a genuinely convivial, wonderful man. Happy birthday to him, and happy Thursday to you.
Well, happy Thursday. I'll quickly tap that story off with my one visit to greatness.
Yes.
And getting to watch Johnny Carson on the set of The Tonight Show in person. That was the coolest experience.
I would have so loved it. I would have loved it.
Oh, because I would stare. I was watching him and watching how they do it. Because, you know, it's funny about these shows that they crank in and out every single day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a total job to them. They're not happy. They're not like, hi, everybody. It's like when the light goes on, like I would watch them and they were just all like going to work and this is when the cameras are off and they're very perfunctory and very businesslike. But then da 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 and everybody comes to life. And on every single break, I think I've told you this before, mm-hmm. when Johnny Carson was sitting there with guests, and I don't even remember who the guests were.
Do you remember who the guests were when you were there?
Nope, no idea. No, I just remember watching Johnny Carson. Because as a broadcaster and as a host, I'm just enamored with great talent like him.
Of course, so, legendary.
You know, legendary.
But
and I would watch
the breaks,
him.
Though.
And he shuts down because they would dim the lights, but you could still kind of, you'd see him, you're right? He had no small talk for any of the guests.
Wow.
He would look down at his desk. He would tap the pencil on the desk.
Yep.
And I've read that about him over the years, that he was not he was like Limbaugh that way. They're sort of socially awkward people. They weren't like real gregarious, very, very almost painfully shy. But he would not, like these guys now, Kimmel and all that, they're always leaning over on the breaks and they're whispering and they're, no. When the lights went down, he shut off and he didn't engage the other person at all. At all.
It was kind of peculiar. Roughly when would this have been?
Oh, Mark, I can't even tell you. I mean, I must have been in high school or I don't remember. Gotcha. It was years and years. You know,
so
when did he retire?
Late 70s, 92. But this was late 70s primetime Johnny, huh?
I mean, just 80s maybe. Okay. I don't remember. I mean, gotcha. But it was something I've read about. Anyway, listen, I got my own problems. I have this doctor. I got this doctor here in Tampa
really
Bay.
Really important. Let's go.
I have a dirt. Now, when you're a hypochondriac, you need to have a pretty good doctor.
That's right.
He's on call 24/7.
Got to be busy.
And today is my big treatment. I get this. I can't wait to hear the medical folks. And
for
there's
what?
A bunch in DFW.
Right.
He's been wanting me to do an immune boost treatment.
Okay.
He's going to take out my blood.
All right.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I know. And he's going to give me it's a high dose ozone treatment. High dose ozone.
Okay.
And an ultraviolet light is involved.
Oh, Lord, okay.
I think I've got Dr. Frankenstein. I think I have a monster for a doctor. So who knows? Tomorrow I'm going to have an eyeball on my forehead. I'll have rubella. I'll have typhoid. And I'm sure a dose of monkeypox just to add it all in. And COVID. But he says, listen, I've had great success with this. It's a high-dose ozone treatment of your blood. ultraviolet rays, so there's UV light involved. Maybe Trump was right. Maybe bleaching your
maybe
blood.
There's something to that.
And I'm kidding because Trump didn't say that. I know it before. But I don't know what I'm in for. So wish me well. Say a prayer today after I get off the air. I'm off to my high dose ozone. I just wonder if it's
immune.
I'm kind of looking
stuff. I mean,
it's to boost your immune system.
I'm not going
to
sneeze at it. I mean, I don't.
Hey,
what is
the guy that prescribes ivermectin to me every week. I like the guy. I mean, he's kind of a blend of Eastern and Western medicine. You know, it takes me 45 minutes to take all my supplements along with my Relief Factor, my Balance of Nature, sleep. I mean, I swear, it takes me a day to get ready in the morning. I'm also taking all this other crap, vitamin C and liposomal.
But that's
so
good.
I guess. Wonderful. I don't know.
Look at you. You're healthy as a horse. You're 62.
62, lost 52 pounds. You know, Gorka lost 40 pounds on this plan.
There you go.
I mean, soda and pH, all these things are out there just taking good care of people. And I talked to Gorka last night about a couple of things. And he said, did you really lose 50 pounds? And I said, no, I lost 52.
Well, I lost 47, so ha, Mike.
By the way, the medical experts in DFW are already weighing in on the Pure Talk text line. I need a doctor or a nurse, 800-655-MIKE. And here's the first response, 800-655-6453.
Uh-huh.
Mike, that sounds like vampire activity to me. Don't do it.
That's tremendous. You're going to be coming out after this, and you're going to be singing Putting on the Ritz with Gene Wilder.
Putting on the Ritz. All right, let's dive
Frankenstein
in.
Reference.
I love tackling today. Here's the cover of the New York Post, because I heard you talking about the New York mayor and Governor Abbott and the battle. Here's the cover of the New York Post. Texas versus New York. Mayor Adams threatens Governor Abbott over illegal immigrant buses. Lone Star Leader says, and they got a big picture of Governor Abbott with a giant cowboy hat on, make my day.
That's exactly right.
It's so good. And, of course, the Post is a New York publication, but they're sympathetic to what, you know, Abbott is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what they write. Texas Governor Greg Abbott tapped into his inner Dirty Harry and publicly dared Mayor Adams to make my day by carrying through on his threat to send New Yorkers to campaign against his reelection bid. Now, Mark, I'm confused. New York's a sanctuary city.
Yep.
They welcome the illegals with open arms.
They should love this.
Why wouldn't they love this?
Exactly.
Why wouldn't they be thanking Governor Abbott for sending the poor, oppressed illegals right here, right into New York City? That's where they want to go.
You know the answer. It's because all this sanctuary city is just nothing but political theater. It's just stuff they say in order to seem kind and in order to make those of us who want strong borders seem cruel. When you give them the actual fruits of their terrible policies, when you give them actual waves of illegal immigrants that they actually have to deal with, they squeal like stuck pigs.
It's hysterical. I love watching them squeal. Did you see the guy that unfurled the giant banner, Arrest Trump, in front of Trump Tower?
And then they asked him about crimes?
The Newsmax. Yeah.
Okay,
the crimes.
I gotta, do you have it? I got to find it. Do you have it?
You got to find it, because we have it, right, guys? What clip is it? Do we have it? Can we play it for Mark? It's perfect, because this clown is so articulate, he thinks, and he's so proud of himself, unfurling this giant Arrest Trump banner, and a Newsmax guy, I'm sure the guy doesn't know he's from Newsmax, a Newsmax reporter goes up and says, well, just what crimes? And the guy falls apart. These people are so embarrassing. It just cracks me up. Do we have it, Derek, or not? All right, here it is. We got it, Derek. Mark, we can play it for you.
Excellent.
Here it is.
Is this unprecedented to arrest a former president for not turning in documents?
Well, I don't know any other former president that had committed this many provable criminal acts.
But what are the provable criminal acts, I guess?
Provable criminal acts. Well, I'm done talking.
I'm done talking.
Now, I hate that clip gets clipped at the
hashtag end.
I don't know why, I'm done talking.
I'm done talking.
I can't. No comment. No. Yeah, name one dope. Name one dummy. What's one provable crime? Did you happen to see Hannity last night?
Bits and pieces. I saw.
He's got a parade of Trump lawyers on.
Well, I saw Lindsey Halligan, who had described what it was like to be told that you can't even stand around and watch what the FBI is doing while they
the president's lawyer.
Yeah, exactly.
They won't let the press. And then another attorney. There were two different attorneys. Now remember something. Backstory. Hannity's tight with Trump. I mean, let's just understand.
Oh, please, of course.
I mean, over the years of the Trump presidency, I kept thinking anything that Sean was delivering at night was coming right from the cell phone of Donald J. Trump.
Gotcha.
I mean, they're very tight. In fact, I hope I'm not revealing something I'm not supposed to, but do you know that Sean bought a property right next, like next to Mar-a-Lago?
Dang. Okay.
Is that something?
Probably.
I mean, that's some property right there. I think life has paid off handsomely.
Yes, it has. He's doing fine. Deservedly so.
He's doing great. So anyway, he's got a couple of lawyers on. Number one, they wouldn't let the lawyers even anywhere near the raid. And the FBI ordered the surveillance cameras to be turned off.
At Mar-a-Lago. Yeah.
At Mar-a-Lago. But do tell. And then Eric Trump has revealed, they weren't off. They think they're off, but they kept them on.
Oh, my.
And now the FBI's flipping out, demanding all the surveillance footage. They want to confiscate the tapes. Now, Mark, why would that be if it's a legitimate, properly executed search warrant?
I can't imagine.
Why would they not want that tape to be out? I mean, Mark,
all it could show is just the agents going calmly and professionally about their appointed duties. And,
right.
It's kind of like 87,000 IRS agents. If you're not doing anything wrong, what do you have to fear?
Have you seen the job posting the IRS quickly took down?
The one that says, like, arm up and be ready to do battle.
A key requirement is that the IRS agents that they're going to be hiring have to be legally allowed to carry a firearm, and the major duties include carrying a firearm and be willing to use deadly force if necessary.
There you go, man.
There we go. That's our IRS. You know, they're not going to hit anybody under making under $400,000.
No, it's all just big wigs and hedge fund guys. No,
yeah. It's the billionaires. It's just the billionaires. Now, unfortunately, with the amount of audits that they do and the amount of billionaires, the math doesn't add up. We are under siege. We got a way to get this country back. It's coming. And you know, I've been thinking a lot about the political ramifications of the Mar-a-Lago raid and inflation. I heard Hewitt earlier this morning say, well, you know, inflation's getting better. The mainstream media spin right now is that it's all coming back, that the inflation is already, but you know, look at Biden yesterday, zero.
Bless his
coughing
heart.
Out.
You know, my
bless
favorite,
his heart.
A real quick favorite thing somebody said when Biden was chortling about zero inflation this month. I don't know who it was. I can't attribute it, but somebody who was not my original thought came on and said, you know what? It's an argument like, I put on 70 pounds during COVID, but this month I haven't put on any additional weight, so I am fit as a fiddle.
That's literally the perfect metaphor.
That's
exactly right. But the media is running with it's good. Now, here's what they point out. Typically, gas prices surge. Here's the gas. That's the big talking point of the mainstream media today.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time gas prices are below $4 a gallon.
That's lovely.
I'm telling you, economic numbers, get ready, are going to get a bit better.
Of course they
closer
are.
Closer and closer to November.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's inevitable. Like you said, it's like, well, okay, I lost 4 pounds and I put on 90. Nonetheless, it's going to get better, and the media is going to run with it because that's going to be the Democrat talking point.
Yep.
Does the Mar-a-Lago raid overshadow that? And I do think it does. I think people are more fired up. People have a more of a visceral anger to the persecution of the 45th president than they do the inflation numbers.
As you often do, I focus on sort of the non-ideological, mushy, middle, independent, you know, non-aligned voter. And I think about a good economy. They say, look, the economy should be good. I'm glad the economy is getting better. It's been dreadful. I'm glad it's getting better. It should be getting better. What should not happen is agents storming the home of a possible rival of the sitting president of the United States. And I think you're right. I think that kind of...
Or maybe recruiting IRS agents who are willing to use deadly force.
Blow your head off.
That might be a problem. Didn't pay your taxes? Listen, put them up. Put them up. Hands up. What a mess we're in. But that's all right. We're off and running. We got a country to save.
We have a country here every day. To save. You're, Mike makes our day. Making our day.
Mike.
Appreciate you,
makes
man.
Your day.
Ta, 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 on Thursday and every day, as soon as we're done at 10, right here on 660 AM The Answer. Why, of course. Seems like the soundtrack to a 50 old black and white movies you might have seen from the Charlie Chaplin era or something. This is the 12th Street Rag. It's an old ragtime composition from the 20s. But it was an actual hit in 1948 by the little combo of a gentleman named Pee Wee Hunt. So from the summer of 1948, we'll tap our toes out of this hour and into the next. Grab a line, 866-660-5759. I'm Mark Davis. Glad you're here. Thursday, August 11th. Much more to come.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.